Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Deborah Hill, an intuitive coach, counsellor, speaker and author seeking motivated, positive, capable, success-minded individuals and audiences who are ready to quickly and effectively work through barriers in their life, business and relationships. And what we're going to talk about is her book, Unlimited Life, Limiting Beliefs and Belief Busting Power Truths. And she has a belief that you are what you eat, which we shall talk about. Hello, Deborah. Can I invite you onto the program?
Hi, thank you very much, Mike. It's just very exciting to be talking with you.
That's great, yeah. Well, it's an interesting subject. I don't think I've had someone yet who believes we are what we eat, but that might be a good place to start. I guess most people have an idea that what they eat affects their health, and they may relate that to weight problems if they have them. But what do you understand, or what do you mean by that statement?
What I mean by that is that we have this, a lot of people have a tendency to believe that your body is a machine that can just absorb just about anything, just give it some fuel and it will run. But the body is like any other machine, only it's organic and even more refined. And so the quality of the fuel you put in it determines the kind of energy you have. Since we're all energetic beings, the body is energy, and it needs a certain kind of energy to process. And what you put in it will determine how well it vibrates. When your body's not feeling well, you probably notice that you don't feel very well. You know, if you've been ill, that those times you feel emotionally upset, besides physically upset, you don't think well, nothing works right when the body's not feeling well. So if you put in something that has a lot of substance that is not chemically correct, it can upset the balance of your body. For instance, you notice when you give kids a lot of sugar, they run around like little wind-up toys.
Yeah.
They go pretty crazy. So it's important to pay attention to what you're eating, because that will affect how you interact with the world and how you're thinking and feeling.
Right. So what is the what are the adverse effects that chemicals have? I mean, the perhaps common ones that you find added to processed foods.
There are a lot of chemicals that are put into foods that you may not notice the effects. It's just with those chemicals, for instance, red dye number 9, it's just very intuitively and makes sense to realize that the body has never had that before. It's not made to process that, and so it doesn't really know what to do with it, and it can upset a chemical balance. But other chemicals such as MSG, you can notice a lot of people get headaches from it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is a chemical, everything is a molecule, and our body is made to handle different molecules in different ways. And so there are some molecules that we may not know how they affect us, but I think it's important to really pay attention to your body, get to know your body. Doing yoga is really good. Doing Tai Chi, just sitting and meditating. Paying attention when you're, if you're an athlete, you really know how your body works. And you can pay attention to what happens when you put a certain substance in your body.
Right. What do you think, or in what way do you think that food is related, say, to a person's emotions? And I'm thinking possibly that some people are irritable or get angry quicker because of the food substances in their body. Would that be a true comment?
I've seen other people, and I know I also respond to different foods in my body emotionally. Anger being one of those reactions. Anger happens more easily if you tend to be a person who gets angry when you're tired or when you're depleted. And if you're not getting good nutrition, say, for instance, you're eating a whole bunch of unbleached white flour products or junk food, that the nutritional value is pretty much taken out of it. Your body is not getting the nutrition that it needs. It's not really healthy. And it might feel very tired and worn out. So you don't have the energy to control your emotions. You might notice, like, if you're really tired at night, someone wakes you up and, you know, scares you. It takes you a little while to get control. I know in the morning, you know, people don't talk to me until I've been up for a little while.
Right, yes.
I need to get my bearings so that I can be at peace.
Do you think that people are affected by the type of foods they eat in the sense that they lose their brain power or their ability to concentrate and that type of thing?
I've just been reading a book, The Mind at Any Age, by Amen, and he actually has done energetic studies where they put the brains through a brain scan, and you can see holes in brains for different diseases and then also different conditions. For example, Alzheimer's, the brain looks like Swiss cheese. Energetically, you can see where the energy is lighting up different areas, but a lot of areas are dark. He sees the same thing with dehydration. And he's also seeing the same thing when people have not been eating correctly. He really notices it with alcohol and with sugar. And he's been treating people with diet and vitamins. As he's also a medical doctor, and sometimes he'll use medication as well. But he's healing children and adults who aren't thinking correctly or have behavioral problems. And he's saying that these behavioral problems are not, quote, psychological. They're behavioral nutritional problems. And they clear up when he changes their diet.
Yeah. Because it's a very common complaint, if you like, about younger children who have what they call an attention deficit. It seems they can't concentrate on things, and that's why I asked you that question, because I believe there is an association between what they eat and their ability to concentrate.
Absolutely. If you see kids running around, if they've had a lot of sugar or if they haven't had enough nutritional value, if you're not getting the nutrients you need or you're hungry in any way, you just don't think correctly. And sugar, I know for myself, if I eat a lot of sugar, I just get wired.
Mm.
And people may not be as sensitive as I am. Maybe you don't notice it. But when the children are little, they don't have a lot of body to process, and you give them a lot of sugar, they will become, like, highly vibrational, and it is hard to focus and attention on different things. I think there's also a trend going on with children where they're also becoming more evolved in a certain way. They're coming in a little bit more attuned to the environment.
Yes.
And they also need more grounding and need a different kind of learning to help them to focus and to channel that energy in a new way. It's kind of like we have a new type of intelligence coming in and an old type of educational system.
Right, yes. We need, obviously, healthy foods to fuel our bodies. What would you say are the healthiest foods that we can eat for that particular purpose, to give us the energy we need to go through the day and do whatever's necessary?
I think that the particular foods that are best for people vary with the individual. Some people do better with meat. Some people do better with vegetarian. In general, eating a lot of vegetables is important. Not overeating. Eating fresh foods that are, it would be really nice if they're grown close to home. unprocessed food is very important without a lot of chemicals. Foods without a lot of saturated fat in them or cholesterol, things that clog things up. In general, those are the best foods to eat. Drinking a lot of water is important, you know, 8 to 10 glasses a day.
Yeah, yeah.
But beyond that, it really varies with the individual, and I think it's very important that people pay attention. And my book is about how our beliefs limit us, and
yeah,
how we can bust through those limiting beliefs. And I give 16 power truths with 16 limiting beliefs to help you to change and to see things in a new light. And the power truth for this one, obviously, is my body, mind, and spirit respond to what I eat. And if you can get in touch with your body, mind, and spirit, and notice and pay attention to what feels good. I became vegetarian about the early 70s. And I tested it for myself. It was a real new concept at the time, and people told me I was going to die. But it made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, you had to be very brave to be vegetarian back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the Seventh-day Adventists had been doing it for years, and they seemed to be doing fine. So I thought I'd be okay. I wasn't going to kill myself. But I tried. First, I stopped eating meat, and I paid attention. How do I feel? And then I stopped eating chicken and turkey, poultry. And I noticed, how does it feel? I felt better. I felt lighter. And I'm not saying that that's true for everybody, because some people really do need to eat meat and poultry and fish. It just really depends on each body type and where it's from and the genetic makeup, and probably the climate that you're in has something to do with it as well.
Do you think, yes, carry on.
Gone, sorry.
Yeah, I was simply going to ask you if you thought that it was possible to use your intuition as to what was good for you or not, or is that unreliable?
Well, that's a really good question. The intuition, and I like to call intuition extended awareness. It's a being more aware of what's going around you and within you, and being more aware of who you are within yourself and what's happening with the environment and also what's happening with your body.
Mm.
And the body is a being in itself, and that's one of the other limiting beliefs that I have, that people believe that they're their bodies. And the truth is we're not our bodies. We are an independent, essential, aware being that's habitating the body. Usually, some people are sort of out of body.
Yeah.
Spaced out. But for the most part, we try to be in there. And it's important to make that distinction. And if you can become aware, using your intuitive understanding of who you are, then you can also intuitively talk to your body.
Mm.
Separate being, get to know it.
Yeah.
What do you want on that other level? Have a conversation with it.
Yes, I entirely believe that. Indeed, that was what prompted my question, because I believe the body is a complete conscious unit, and as you said, if you talk to it, if you try to understand it, I think you personally think you do get some guidance in what to do in life. And that probably applies to your choice of food as to what you eat and exercise, anything possibly.
Correct. You can intuitively feel that you really want to go somewhere or do something, and it's good to, again, an intuitive awareness is more awareness on a spirit level.
Yes,
intuition is really coming from a spirit level, but it's the spirit has to connect with the body to see intuitively what it needs.
Hmm. So I take it the spiritual side of life comes into your coaching and your teachings then?
Absolutely. When I'm coaching people, I can see them both with my eyes, and or if I'm doing a phone session, which I do my work over the phone as well, I see people intuitively at a different level. And it's like seeing a video. I can have a conversation with them on an essential spiritual level as well as the body level. And I connect those two. So I can see where people are stuck and where they're trying to go, what their next step is, whether it's in their relationship or their personal growth, business information, how to be more successful in their life. And I help them to break through those obstacles and to take their next step, to transform.
Right.
So that all comes from that, being more aware. And I also teach people how to expand their awareness so that they, too, can be more intuitive and see things that are going on in others and within themselves.
Yes, I read that you have been a nurse and you've been involved in some sort of healing most of your life. So I guess that has actually given you a very good background in the type of work you're doing now.
Well, yeah, thanks. It has. I started out being a hippie. And actually, I started out going to pre-med school at the University of Michigan and just did not fit into the medical system at that time. I took all those courses, and then I got into natural healing. I went through studying Reiki and acupressure and massage therapy and herbs and vitamins and all sorts of different healing and nutritional techniques. And then decided that I wanted to go back into the health field and decided to do the most positive route, which would be become a midwife. And to do that, it made sense to me to go back to the medical side to see it from both perspectives. So I did go through and get a degree in nursing, and then got a bachelor's degree in nursing and a master's degree in nursing. And all of those, that education involved a lot of psychology as well. So I got to do a lot of counseling and coaching, and I got to use all those skills when I was a nurse midwife, and I did a lot of family planning and as well as obstetrics. I then went into business for a while, doing graphic arts, and had my own business, and it helped me to understand the corporate world and what it's like to be an entrepreneur, or to be working for other companies as well. Got a whole sense of that whole financial business aspect of life. And then throughout all of this, I've been working on personal growth and developing my abilities, and became aware about 15 years ago about how powerful my intuitive ability was. And said, okay, that's real. And it was shocking to me to know that I just found out that other people did not have that at all. I mean, I had some sort of sense that other people weren't getting information from voices and other sources or seeing things or knowing the truth about things, because I would say things that made a lot of sense that I saw happening and other, no one else saw it, and then it would happen later on. So I had a sense of that, but throughout my life, I just thought I was a little crazy. And a lot of people who are very intuitive.
Yes, no, that's true intuition, I think. Now, you mentioned vitamins there. Some people in the medical profession don't feel that taking your B12 or whatever it is you want to put into your body is a very good way to take it through vitamins. What do you think about them? Are they worthwhile taking?
To taking B12 into your body?
Well, any vitamin, I mean, just a general approach. Are vitamins going to do something for you?
My experience is that I have noticed a difference.
Right.
Again, I try them out, and I see how I feel. I pay attention to what happens when I take these vitamins. Sometimes I will go with, if medical research is showing that omega-3s are really helping the body, I'll go with that. I'll say, oh, well, that makes sense. And I will take the omega-3 vitamins, and I will see how my body responds to it. If it likes it, then it makes sense. I'll keep doing it. Other times, for instance, I was feeling really tired, and I read this article that said if you are running, jogging, I'm a runner, and you're in pollution, you're picking up all the pollution, it will make you tired. But if you take higher doses of vitamin C, E, and A, then the antioxidants, you'll be able to process that pollution better and you won't be tired anymore. So I tried it and it worked. And so now whenever I run in pollution, I take antioxidants, more antioxidants.
Right. But I suppose at the end of the day, the best thing, of course, is to eat good organic foodstuffs which has the vitamins in that your body requires.
It is a good thing to do that. And I know there's a real debate. A lot of people think that you can get everything you need from foods. And theoretically, I think that you could, depending on what you eat. But foods, even organic foods at this point, have been so hybridized that a lot of them don't have the same elements that they used to. For instance, when I was a child, I used to be allergic to tomatoes. And yes. I would break out in hives. I guess you say tomatoes over there? I'd break out in hives.
Yeah.
And I, so I had to stop eating them. Then when I was about 11 or 12, somehow I tasted a tomato and nothing happened, and then I could eat tomatoes the rest of my life. Then I went to Italy, and I was in Italy for 2 weeks, and I broke out in hives, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I went into a hospital in Florence, and we're just trying to figure it out, and I said, well, maybe it's the wine. You know, I'm drinking a lot more wine than I normally do, and he said, you'll never get an Italian doctor to tell you it's the wine. So I said, okay, well, so they gave me some prednisone, and I went away wondering, and then it struck me. It was the tomatoes, because the tomatoes in Italy were not hybridized to the extent that they were in the United States. We're not eating real tomatoes here.
Right.
They've changed. So, yes, in the perfect world, eating the right foods should give you the right vitamins. I can't say, I think everybody has to make their own decision as to whether you feel good enough, and if you feel like you're getting everything you need, you have to trust what your body tells you. But for me, I feel I need supplements.
Yes, right. Now,
as well as eating healthy.
Oh, right. Now, you talk about, I think this is in your book, about conquering self-imposed obstacles that prevent people from making the most out of life's challenges and opportunities. How do you cope with that with someone? How do you get them to, I suppose, release these obstacles?
I noticed that as people were wanting something and they were defining it, they were putting it out in the world, and they kept saying, this is what I want. I've been trying to attain it. I've been trying to have it. And I noticed it in myself, too. But there were certain things that were holding them up that weren't allowing them to have it. And it, what I could see was, is people have developed beliefs that will often stop them from getting what they want. For instance, I noticed in myself I was wanting a long-term relationship. And I did everything to clear out different psychological issues that I had and really defined what I wanted and the kind of guy I wanted. And it wasn't happening. And I'm thinking, there's something that's blocking me. In truth, there are times when it's not meant to be. But honestly, Michael, I'm not seeing that happening that often. It's very rare that when you really want something, you can't have it. It's usually something within you that's preventing you from having it. So I looked and looked, and I realized that throughout the years and all the personal growth work I've done, I've come to really like me. I like being with me. I love me. I love taking me places and being by myself. And I said, well, you know what?
Yeah,
that's a big obstacle. If I believe that I can't be alone and with me and have fun, when I'm in a relationship, I'm not going to have one.
Hmm.
So I decided, okay, I'll share me. And within a couple of weeks, I met my husband.
Right. I think that is possibly to use the expression going with the flow, is it? Do you just sort of keep going and not actually focus on what you want? Or would that be the right way to describe it?
You can go with the flow and just work through issues. You can also decide that you want things to happen in a certain way and create the kind of day, the kind of moment that you want.
Hmm.
I had a client this morning saying he was going into a meeting and he didn't know why he was going to this meeting. This person had asked him to come and he just had a bad feeling about it. And I said, well, why are you going then? And he said, because I just felt, I don't know, I made this commitment, it's too late to cancel it. I said, well, why don't you sit in your car before you go in and just visualize and intend that something good is going to come out of the meeting. Maybe it won't be a client, you know, new client, but maybe you'll learn something, maybe you'll make a good communication. And you can do that. You can just sit in the, you know, and decide that something is going to happen right for you and make that happen. And you can help, you know, you could go with the flow and just get bounced around in the meeting, or you could decide to change it.
Mm.
Sometimes you try to change it and it doesn't work. And if it didn't work, and if I were that person and I went and I sat there and I just could not get rid of the feeling that it was going to be a very bad experience, I would probably have to call him and say, you know, I'm sorry, but I hate to do this last minute, but I just have to cancel the appointment.
Right, yeah. Now, the $64 question is, what is really, no, this is a big one, this one, what is really the difference between one who succeeds and one who fails?
That's a big question, it is.
It really is, yeah.
Opens up many, many doorways. I see so many different ways I could go with that. First of all, just to take it off on a little tangent, you have to decide what is success.
Hmm.
And in fact, I just wrote an article. It's in my blog. If you go to my website, theawarenessinitiative.com, and you go to my blog, you'll see there's a little article about that, about what is success. Success, to most of us, is production. How much do you succeed? How much money do you get? How much do you accomplish in your life? But for some people, that isn't success. For any of us, that isn't what really is success. What success is, are you fulfilled? Are you in integrity? Are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you having good relations with other people? Are you happy? And if you are just working as a janitor, and you have all that for yourself, then that is success for that person. Whereas if you are, you know, if you're a big executive and you're making, you know, millions of dollars a year, but you don't have good relationships with the people around you and you're not happy and you're not healthy and you're running around hurting yourself and your body, that's, to me, is not success. So I think the difference between people who are really successful is that they're doing what they love, and they're also managing themselves so that they don't overwork, that they are able to maintain good relations and feel happy in their lives and fulfilled. So there are a lot of things that can prevent you from doing that. Beliefs is one of those things. If you believe you have to be a doctor, but you always wanted to be an artist, and you become a doctor, you're not going to be happy.
Right. Now, is this where your 16, as you described them, powerful truths come in?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about some of them.
All right. Well, they correspond to different beliefs. One belief is that it's really common, and you hear it a lot, is I don't have enough time.
Right, yes.
And the truth is that time is really unlimited, and you have as much time as you need. So, that's hard to grasp just to go from one step to the other. I have several pages, and actually the book's all illustrated with little fun pictures to help it be more light. But the truth is time is not linear. Einstein tried to describe that to us. Time actually extends in all directions. And if you're thinking that everything has to be done in a certain line and it has to be done in a certain order and you only have a certain amount of time on that line to do it, you're going to get hung up. But if you know that you have an intention and you being a goal, you can make a list of things and know that this is what you want to have happen. Some of those things won't get done, but those things may not have needed to get done. Other things might get done. And then if you're feeling like you're doing the right thing at the right time, if you have that feeling like this feels right, and most people can identify with that, if you keep feeling like you're doing the right thing at the right time, you will get to your goal at the right time.
So that really comes down to, I guess, planning and doing the more important tasks first, because some of the others, as you probably meant there, are not that urgent or important.
It does make sense to do that and notice where you're distracting yourself by doing the little things so you don't have to face the big projects. It's also realizing that sometimes those big projects won't happen. You have this whole list of what happens first, second, and third, and maybe things, that number two isn't going to happen in July. It's going to happen in September. But it had to happen in September because there were other people that were going to be involved that weren't lined up yet to make that possible.
Right.
You understand?
Yes, indeed, yes.
So I think people get very... We create benchmarks for ourselves, and we get very frustrated when we don't make those benchmarks on time. But those benchmarks are just something that we are creating in our mind. That's not necessarily reality-based. And if you let go of the benchmarks and let them expand a little, knowing that you want to get to your certain goal, then you will get there and you won't feel that pressure and the stress of not getting it all done immediately and in the linear time slot that you wanted it to happen.
Right. Now, I believe you've actually said that we don't have to limit ourselves to less than what we want out of life. Is that correct?
Limit ourselves to less? I didn't quite understand your question.
Well, I think I'm quoting a bit out of your book where you said we don't have to limit ourselves to less than the life we want. Was that a quote of yours?
It very well could be. It makes a lot of sense. I didn't memorize the book yet, but I wrote it. But it's true. We can have whatever we want. And if you work through the limitations, then if you're not getting what you want, look at why aren't you getting it? You're the one who's limiting it. You have to expand your vision of what it is you need and allow that to open up for you, create it.
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. I believe you also get into the area of managing your career as well, and you talk of fulfillment with partners, I suppose, as lovers, caregivers, neighbours and friends. That's quite a task, I imagine, isn't it?
If you look at it in linear time, it could be a really big project.
Yes.
But you can also have an aha moment, and it can happen right now.
Right.
If you're doing what you're meant to be doing, and if you're feeling really good about that and being in the right time and being in present time, then you will have all that.
Right.
I'm
yes.
not saying that you won't have an argument with your husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or kid, you know. that stuff happens. But the overall feeling of, yes, I am on my path where I need to be, and this really feels right, and you feel full in that moment. It's very, very possible. And I feel like it's really essential. It's kind of a starting point for really doing what you need to and creating what you can in your life.
Right. Now, if I could just go back to something, you're sort of going off a little bit at a tangent here. I noticed that your first book was called The Writings of the Masters.
Well, yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, it was at a point when I was really, like I said, I'd been hearing information coming to me from different voices throughout my life, and I would write it down, and it was obvious it wasn't something that I would think. And I, through the teachings that I had, learned to raise the vibration, the standards of who I would listen to, because people think that they hear a voice, and just because they're not in a body and they're speaking from somewhere else, that they really have a lot of meaning. Like, you know, someone would say, well, my grandmother died, and what does she say to me? And you tell her what the grandmother said, and she says, oh, well, I have to do that. Well, if your grandmother said to you in real life something, would you always follow it? I mean, maybe it's right, maybe it's not right. Well, grandma's still the same, you know?
Yes.
So you don't have to take everything with a grain of salt, and you don't give up your power to anybody. But I decided to talk to beings of a higher level, and so started to connect with angels. And one of my guides said to me, Deborah, it's, you know, you've been knowing that you're supposed to write a book. I have all my life. People have been saying, you know, I get this feeling you're going to write a book. And I, what book? What book? What am I going to write? And then one day that guy said, you're going to write a book. And I said, oh, great. Okay, good. What is it? And he said, well, what's going to happen is you will call the different archangels and ascended masters, and they will come to you, and you can talk to them and ask them questions, and you'll write down what they said. And I said, oh, great, I'm crazy. This can't happen. Yeah, I'm going to go say, hey, come here, Buddha, and Buddha's going to come to me and talk to me. Like, that can't happen. So I resisted, and then the guy said, well, let's do this. Why don't you just, maybe if you don't want to call them or feel comfortable, someone will come to you. And you I actually type, because it's hard to write as fast as people talk. And just type out what that person says, and just do that for a little bit and see what you get and how you feel. And you don't have to tell anybody. You know, so if it's crazy, no one will know. So the first thing that came to me was Jesus, which, growing up Jewish, was an interesting situation. Not that I didn't believe that he existed and very possible, but I never really spent time getting to know him, so to speak.
Yes.
And it was remarkable, and he said these things, and I just typed away, and it was very powerful. I could only do about an hour at a time, and after a few days of doing this, I felt comfortable with him, so that a lot of the book does have Jesus in it.
Right.
And then after a few days, 4 days, I felt a little more confident and showed it to another friend of mine who's intuitive and said, what do you think of this? Am I crazy? And she said, wow, this is amazing stuff. This is really good. No, this is right. This is, in fact, I'd like you to ask him a question for me.
Right.
And so we did that, and one of the chapters is some questions that she had. And then, as time went on, other entities came, and Buddha, and Lao Tzu, and archangels, and Michael, and Gabriel, and I just wrote down what they said, Mary, and some that I'd never heard of before. And as time went on, I shared it with more and more people, and they just lit up. And so, you know, my guide said, you know, maybe you are crazy, but if it changes people's lives, it helps them, shouldn't you do it? And I said, yeah, I'll take that leap. So I did. And, you know, obviously I've come to believe in what actually is happening, and I still do communicate and get information or not advice. They don't advise me on things, but they share information and insights with me. Because the beings at the higher level won't tell you what to do. They respect you to make your own decisions.
Indeed, yes. So, you wrote that book in 2003. Are you then writing a second one based on what you've learned since?
Well, I have another one that is almost ready to go to press. I sort of got distracted by the unlimited life. And in the right way, distracted, that was my next step. And I'm trying to reach as many people as I can. So I have several books in the work, and Unlimited Life, Unlimited Beliefs at Work, Unlimited Relationships, also the Writings of the Masters too. And I am putting together a CD of meditations that I'm getting from the communications from others. It's really been phenomenal for me. They'll come to me and say, I see you're stressed. Would you like a meditation for stress? I say, sure. You know? So I will do it and I'll feel better. There was a visualization the other day that I really liked, and it all starts with you have to sit and notice yourself and breathe. And it had me visualize a very comfortable scene. Scene in nature.
Yes.
It can be a beach or it can be the woods. And in that scene, there's a tree. And the tree is a wind blowing the leaves, just a slight breeze. And every so often, the breeze picks up. And the leaves on this tree are magnets for stress. It just pulls the stress out of you as you look at it. But stress lands on the leaves, and as soon as it lands, the breeze picks up and blows it away as like sparkles into the atmosphere.
Yes, yes.
And then it needs more stress, and it keeps pulling the stress out of you until eventually you don't have any more to offer, and the tree sort of looks elsewhere.
That must be useful in your work. Do you recommend those meditations to people who come to you with stress?
When I do a session with people, I usually give them specific meditations that are relative to their issue, things that work for them. And I also give them affirmation for them to write down and say to themselves and post in different places to help to confirm the new information, that the new transformation they've made. I do healings on the people as well, so that when they leave my office or leave the session, if I'm talking on the phone, they actually have changed. And so I help them to reinforce that change with the meditation and also other things and tasks that I give them to do. So it's a coaching session. I coach them to take their next step, but with insights that sometimes...
Had a lot of different types of experiences and training. I was looking at your list of what you might call your qualifications. And if I was to read that out, I would need another program.
I'm sort of a learning addict.
Right.
I've done a lot of learning, 4 degrees, a lot of different businesses and occupations.
Yes, wonderful. Now, you've written a lot of articles that are available on your website. Can I just ask you about one or two? Because going by the title, they sound interesting, and I'd like to know what you mean. For example, you have one that speaks of methods to release the past. Give us an idea of how you do that.
First of all, it's important to notice when you're feeling stressed about the past. And the way you do that is if you're angry at somebody, or you see somebody, or there's hurt, or a memory keeps coming up, one of the ways to do that is to use a technique that Colin Tipping recommends in his book, Radical Forgiveness, is to realize that the past, actually, everything that happens to us is happening for our benefit, even though it doesn't feel like it at the time. And you can look at what did you actually get out of it and what did you benefit from with that, so that you can let go of it that way.
Yes. Because it is a fact, is it not, that some people hang on to past grievances and things like that, and they can't bring forgiveness into their mind, that they won't let go.
Yes, and it creates that pain really holds them up, and it's hard to see past that pain. It's a place kind of like a rock in your shoe, and that rock can be pretty big. It can make you limp or even make you stop walking if it's big enough. So a lot of people feel that they deserve to be angry or vindictive or resentful or hurt, and so they hold on to it. But if you look at it from the viewpoint of, well, yeah, maybe there was some of that, maybe you do have a right to feel that way, but do you still want to do that? Can you just, why do you want to hold on to that baggage, to that rock in your shoe? Would you be better off just letting it go?
I think so, yes.
Another way of looking at it is if somebody hurt you and you hold on to that hurt, they are hurting you for the rest of your life. Why give them that power?
Yes.
Let it go and move on.
You're right, yes. Paul, the question I would ask you there is, if you had someone who has anger within themselves nearly all the time, do you feel that affects the way their food benefits their bodies? Because I seem to remember reading something that suggests that if your whole system is upset through anger, that parts of your body, such as your digestive system or things like that, don't function correctly.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. I have really even noticed it in myself. If I get very anxious, or if I try not to be angry now, but even to hold any kind of negative energy, I tend to hold that in my stomach area.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, I don't digest. It hurts when I eat. And the acids aren't flowing right. Our emotions are very connected to our body. How could they not be?
Yeah.
Feelings are energy. Everything is energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our feelings are energy. Our body is energy. And if you have a certain feeling and it's going through your body, it's going to affect the chemistry in your body. It can't not affect it.
Do you think at the moment that this earth and the people on it are going through some sort of transformation?
Absolutely, I really do. I see that a lot of us are, and those of us who aren't are going through a very difficult time. It's a time of transformation. It's a time where the energetics of the planet are changing, where humanity's destiny is being restructured, so to speak. We're recreating ourselves. And a lot of us are opening up and expanding and transforming and people who are being born are coming in with more light, more understanding, and brighter. And transformation isn't always, in fact, it's often uncomfortable when you start anything new, especially good stuff, interestingly, is very stressful because we've never experienced something new that's good before. But there are people who aren't able to do that. A lot of people are dying and leaving us, and hopefully those people, I pray that the people will be able to transform so that they don't experience the pain and can go along for the ride.
Right. Now, we've been having such a good time.
Yeah.
Time, in fact, is racing by. I have to complete the program by 5 minutes to the hour, and I have to leave the last minute to announce next week's guest. So what I want to do for you is to allow you to tell our listeners which websites you have, where they can perhaps purchase your book or books. So perhaps you'd like to do that for us.
Well, thank you. I would love to. The name of my website is the awarenessinitiative.com. I have several other websites, but they all lead to that one, actually.
Right.
And a blog there, you can sign up to get a free newsletter every month, which has an article in it that can be very inspirational, life-changing. You can also subscribe to my blog on that site. And weekly, I write a few paragraphs that people seem to be enjoying and can help change your life. And you can also purchase both of my books on that site. You can also order the books through a bookstore. And you can also buy them on Amazon, though somebody in Canada said the books on Amazon are showing up as out of stock. I don't know what's going on with that, but I assume that you could buy them through Amazon.
Right. Now, you do have a second site, Your Intuitive Life. Are you saying that if someone was to pick that up, it would still lead to the one you've mentioned?
Yes.
Right, okay then.
I've consolidated.
Do you invite people to email you?
Yes, absolutely. You can email me from the site, and I would love to have people email me questions and that I can write about and answer on my blog. And I'm also interested if someone wants to do a little podcast. If you go to my site, you'll see I have podcasts, and we did one. My husband had a question of how do you know if it's a sign or if it's just your imagination? And we had a dialogue about that, and I recorded it and posted it. And would love to do that with other people.
Right.
Our questions are relevant to everybody.
Would you like to give your email address out then, please?
What's that?
Would you like to give your email address out?
Yes, it's Deb Hill, D-E-B-H-I-L-L, at theawarenessinitiative.com.
That's great, right. I'm afraid you finished your time.
Oh, I'm so disappointing. Thank you. This has been so wonderful. I really appreciate you having me.
You were just getting into it, aren't you?
That's
very good. I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you, and it was very informative. Thank you very much for coming onto the program. I shall now use my last minute to tell our listeners who we have next week. And it will be Scott Blum, who's written a new book series. They're written as a series of parables through a semi-fictional sequence of events and an archetypal cast of characters. And what he hopes is that his stories awaken us to new ideas and invite us to explore powerful spiritual and healing practices and draw us into a mystical world where nothing happens by mere coincidence. So that's the basis that we shall be talking on. So thank you for being with me today. I'm sure you must have enjoyed it. God bless you.